The Lord began to teach us to look on his face and do everything we do looking on his face and on his person. In this way, he makes you just as drunk as a skunk. You just get to where you just can't, you can't move anymore. Looking on his face. Looking on his face and on his person. And in doing this way, he finally, and it doesn't take him too long, so sets in your mind the image of himself. Until you, like David, he said, I saw the Lord ever before my face. Now, a lot of people have the idea, well, he's not really there. Yes, he's there. And he moves around you. But he has a purpose in this, to paint in your mind the image of himself. It's because through the lust of your eyes and through the workings of Satan in your life, there has been many images put in your mind. You look at many pictures, you see many trees, you see many kind of paintings. And whenever you try to go to sin, the true thing of God, all these come up in your mind. Well, there's not a thing you can do about it. You can't deliver yourself from that because he is the image destroyer. We see this even back in the Old Testament where they put the Ark of the Testament into the same temple with old Dagon, the false god. And the next morning, Dagon had fell down on his face and was broken. Oh. Now, this happens in your mind. Your mind, and it becomes time in the order of God. For me, following the order of God through Elisha, for me to strike your mind and open your eyes to where you can see the host up in the hills. Oh, but I can't do this just by striking your mind. I strike you. Under the Old Testament, he would strike and say, Lord, open their eyes, and they'd see for a while, and then he'd go away. I can't keep going around and striking you with a mantle every time you want to see, because his face and his person is the eyes through which you see the whole heavenlies. Oh! The only way I can help you with striking you with a mantle is to help get you free of striving in your mind. You know, you get free down in here of striving. You get to where you're at rest in your spirit. And then you catch yourself all at once. Your mind is just turning into wrinkles. You're trying. The spirit is moving inside you, and it's moving so hard you can't. You've got to do something so your mind. You try to connect onto it with your mind, and you catch yourself. And you just have to stop for a while, don't you? Now, in spite of us, him working through the spirit, in spite of the striving in our mind and all those images and things in our mind, he still works in us by the Spirit. And he brings forth prophecies, true doctrines, tongue interpretation. No problem. But when you get through operating in the Spirit, you've got a spiritual headache and sometimes a natural headache, can you? So he must perfect your mind. Put his image in your mind. Tie your mind and your spirit together. Oh, that's real easy to do. Looking on the face of Jesus, the one that breaks down all images. Now look at him with your eyes open. For a purpose, now you may close your eyes sometime, but if you'll look at him with your eyes open and let him do two works in you. One, he'll not only break down the images in your mind, but he'll break down those old images in your eyes, that old eye that's been bothering you, you know, distracting your attention. He'll go to fitting his new eyes in you to where they are under complete control of the Spirit, the anointing in you. So in order to do this, let's just close our eyes and look right there before us. Close our eyes first, Lord Jesus. See you right there before me, Lord Jesus. Hidden there, white as wool, white as snow. Ooh, eyes like flames of fire. Clothed with a garment all the way down to the foot. Girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Begin to reach out towards him now. Body shining with the resurrection fire and glory. Feet like fine brass. As if they burned in a furnace. Voice as the sound of many waters. Waves of the Holy Spirit washing into your mind. Just look at him now. Now open your eyes just a little bit. And let the music start playing. Just open your eyes just a little bit. Keep looking into him now. I see you before me. Your hair white as snow. As white as wool. Does shine and glow. Your eyes of fire, your eyes of love, hath clothed upon me, made us one. Feel yourself getting drunk there? The glory of your body shines like the sun. The fire of your body and glory are one. Clothed with a garment all the way down to your feet. I see you before me. Golden feet. Shining into my girdle of prayer, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now we're one. Ah. glory and power. Your fire and love has now possessed me from head to foot. I yield once more unto you. For the waves of your voice, like water so true. Now let them start. Wave after wave.
Breathing down upon me.
continually, and half breathe inside me, continually. I feel your breathing, stirring the water and the blood. Inside of me, we'll learn all his secrets. Say the voice inside of me, we now are one. Yield thou unto me, and I'll perfect you in the stem. Then one we will be. Simple, but me must wait till the word of our Father says it is done. So we'll move in obedience and let him possess us, and then we'll move in the fullness of God.
One breath, one life,
a shining and glory, of his resurrection. I'm waiting for his voice, and speak inside of me and say the word we. Then I'll drown in glory. To say that, you can check my records anyway. It's the Lord had that spontaneous for a purpose. It's time to move into it. I had it to where it set up, would set up the plumb line ministry and get an understanding of it and then begin to move into it. But he said, move you first and then go into the plumb line. You'll begin to understand now the plan of God for your life. The plan of God is very simple. To manifest himself in the flesh of his people on earth. That's very simple, very plain. Ooh. So we want to go over this tape and over it here, get this settled in our mind, because coming out of religion, most of us are still marked with that old Antichrist thing. God is great above all. That's the lie of Satan. It's true that God is the greatest of all the universe, but that denies his plan. His plan is to come down and move through you and establish himself through you. And if you'll listen to this, you'll understand. I'm going to sing it. The Lord's having me move and sing and everything. I just open my mouth, out it comes. Because you realize what has happened to me, don't you? Okay. Don't have to think anymore. Just hear it go. He had me to write out and lay out the doctrines that he wants to establish and leave in the churches, but he just lets it go. So let's listen to this now, if you will. Are you a little bit drunk? More than a little bit, aren't you? He wanted to get you drunk where you wouldn't fight me in your mind. This is what's been happening. You're fighting your mind. Well, been fighting in your mind because you wasn't drunk on the Spirit. You're trying to figure it all out. Yes, Lord. And I fought him for years like that, and I tell you, it's the most terrible feeling you can have. I did. I fought him for years with that mind of mine, trying to reason it out. And all the travail and the suffering that it caused, whew, I would travail and suffer until he would just have to put me out in the Spirit to put me out of my misery. Fighting him in my mind. Not fighting him really, but trying to reason out his things. And never being able to do it. You can never reason them out. In your natural reason, the spiritual reasoning must take hold of you. Mustn't it, Brother Bell? But it's always so miserable, that old carnal mind trying to reason out and listen to the things of God. It's the reason I go around it. Shut your eyes, listen. Don't look at me. Quit fighting me in your mind. You look, I'm not fighting, Brother Drew, in my mind. But you do it unconsciously. See, there, you grab hold of it and say, well, I wonder why this is this. And it's a terrible feeling, isn't it? Oh, but he got us drunk now. Let's go. Listen to it. You shall be judged by the gospel I preach. Spoke the Apostle Paul, Christ in him did speak. God placed his plumb line. Jesus Christ in me. In this generation and the new age. Everyone being overcome, most everyone being overcome by religion, by the old beast in their mind, God being way above all, not understanding the plan of God, which is to manifest himself through the flesh of his people, begin to resist the plumb line ministry of the Apostle Paul. The church began to fall, even after Pentecost, began to fall into that thing, a falling short of the completeness of God. The old mark of the beast of worshiping God in heaven afar off and denying him moving through their flesh was coming rapidly upon the early church. God sent forth the Apostle Paul and began to declare, by my gospel you shall be judged. The Christ speaking in me said, my gospel shall judge you. I've come as a plumb line, and here he went. And those that turned to him, of course, were saved as a seed for the next generation. And he went on into prison. And there in Rome, the Lord gave him a house, and he planted that seed of that plumb line ministry that went out over the world. And then along 30, 40 years, 50 years later, come the chosen one of Jesus, called the Apostle John, tie together that plumb line for the new age. You are chosen, spoke Jesus to John, do not taste death till you see my kingdom come. John walked in the heavens and measured with a reed and laid out the city for us in the new age. Christ live in flesh and blood, through me to speak. Me to speak. Turn down the works of Satan that was trying to get man back down here, God separated from him in heaven and destroyed the work that Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ brought heaven and earth together. All of his suffering was to do this thing, to bring heaven and earth together so that man might be delivered. All of his suffering was for this purpose. But the beast, the Antichrist, working deceitfully, moving around, and God, great above all, with false humility and all that, brought the curtain back between heaven and earth. So man had no chance of doing anything but worshiping an unseen God afar off, and Satan had him just where he wanted him. Then he could do to him what he wanted to. Oh, and destroying and spoiling all of the sufferings of Christ, making it of no effect. So Paul went around ministering. So did the Apostle John. Two plumb lines of that age. But really, the plumb line ministry of John was reserved for after Paul. As Jesus had prophesied, to tie both of those together and put it on in the new age, a perpetual moving of God planned to manifest himself through the flesh of his people. Listen to it. Know ye the Antichrist, spoke the Apostle John. Confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. Great swelling words of men they do preach, and lies of religion follow thou me. John, the commandments he made to the people that were standing true, knowing how deceitful this thing was, listen to it. If any come to you, bring not this doctrine of Christ, receive them not in your home, nor bid them Godspeed. They're there to trap your children and turn you away from the plumb line of God. And so Satan seen, they show a false front, false humility, and deceive and condemn you into their way, saying God is great, is above all, denying that the great God is come in your flesh. Humility. And God is in heaven, let all the earth keep silent before him, and all that junk moved around and deceived the world and made the suffering of Christ of none effect. Because all the suffering of Jesus Christ, the purpose of the suffering of Jesus Christ, was to bring the life of God and the life of heaven, working through his Son, down inside of the flesh of man, and lift them up out of the world of sin and darkness and Satan, and lift them into the freedom of a life of God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. And here was all in manifestation of truth, glory, and fire. Satan was moving back with that religion. Starting with the old Jewish religion and increasing it on. Tying it together with all the Gentile religions that worshiped a god of the sun, a god of the wind. They were down here. Poor little folks could never know Him, but they worshiped an unseen god afar. Lord help us. Making the suffering of Christ for no effect. God, the purpose of His suffering for you and for me is that He might rend that veil, which He did, rend the veil between God and man, and come inside of you, inside of your flesh, and bring deliverance to your life in peace, love, and joy, and grace, and mature Himself inside of you, so that you could turn around and do this to others. So simple, so easy. The purpose of God becomes very plain. The fullness of Christ in your flesh is His plan. No other way is the way of truth. All other ways is Satan's own plan. So plain when you accept Christ, your spirit comes alive, and He dwells in your spirit with His life of heaven, and the Holy Ghost breathes inside your life. The second step of Christ is now so simple. His heavenly flesh and blood does possess you, and His breath of faith by the Mother Holy Ghost breathes all inside you and makes you one. The third step of life is into His fullness, as in resurrection power, He moves all inside and takes possession of your blood, flesh, and brethren to agreeing together. Both are one. Together inside your temple, your body of flesh, ruling and reigning in glory and fire, manifested life through you. His plan is complete. Now, after he completes his plan, the completion of the plan, God's way is never completion. God never stops at completion. What does he care? Go on from completion. How can anything be complete added on to? But the commandment of Jesus that used to scare me to death and scared everybody to death was to be ye perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. And you said, boy, I give up, I'll never make it. And you couldn't with your own strength and your own ruler. So after he completes his plan, moving in you, then he begins to bring perfection. And the word perfection doesn't mean anything about your flesh or how it looks or whatnot. It means that he takes himself from that completed plan of Christ in you, and he matures himself in you until he brings the perfection or the maturity of your ministry for your life. It's that simple. Okay? Ooh. As you both live inside your temple of flesh and your mother, Holy Ghost, moves all inside and matures Christ in you. You fade away. Both now one in reality. Christ has control of you. Christ moves in you and gets control of you. John said, Christ must increase, I must decrease. Remember? When a living's a whole lump, what then? Everything. everything that Jesus did to you in our journey and the Holy Ghost did to you, what happened then? The Father did something, didn't he? Our Father did something. Is this correct? What brings a completion of plan? How about those group of people that John saw, Revelation the 14th chapter, on Mount Zion? They had whose name in their forehead? Whose name? Yeah, but Jesus' name and the Father's name are the same. True. They're all three in one. But he moves these three different works in your life to bring that oneness with God. There's only way, only one way you can come to the oneness with God, and that is to accept these three works, the work of the Holy Ghost, the work of Jesus, and the work of the Father. Three working in one. Surely you've understood that by now. But who did that? Those that had risen to Mount Zion, or the place in the fullness of the kingdom of God, whose name did they have on their forehead? Then our Mother, Holy Ghost, presents us to our Father. He shows his approval, clothing himself upon you. Christ in our Father, you inside of him, and he inside you. All three are one. Now, where did we learn that? The plumb line ministry of John. You shall know in that day that I am the Father, in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Is this correct? Or is this incorrect? Are you still wanting to live here, you, God, and Christ to fall off in the veil between you? Where you don't want to live? You want to live back behind the veil of darkness and judgment? Or you want to live in the veil of light, where God completes his plan in the flesh? What need does he have for our people if he's not going to move? Come on, he just destroy it and get it all over. He won't sit around and say, supper the rest of the eternity. Is he some kind of sadist or something? Now it's come to pass. John's plumb line ministry. Your Father's name written in your foreheads, and you feel the horns of the unicorn resting on your shoulders, ready to manifest. Paul said, just yield to the gospel I preach. It's already made for you. John said, just yield to the ministry that I preach. Go into it one step at a time. It's already done for you. Yoke easy, burden light. You don't have to move into it. So just walk in obedience of faith to the plan laid out to you, and it's finished. You never struggle and strive to get what God has. It's by grace through faith. Said, just feed one step at a time. The way I give it to you, Paul said, and said, you've got it made. John said the same thing. Just go where I tell you. Let the Lamb lead you whithersoever you goeth. through the plumb line ministry of Paul and John, said, you got it made. It's not anything you do. It's by grace through faith. You just accept his grace or his gift by acts of faith, and he just leads you right on in. Oh. Did you work or do anything to come this far? Did you? Neither did I. I'd have never made it. Would you? How did you get this far? By your acts of faith, wasn't it? You accepted what God provided you. You said, I believe it. You acted on your faith, and he did it, didn't he? Then how are you going to continue on? Paul said to the Galatians, did you get started now in the Spirit, your acts of faith, by grace? Said, now you're going to perfect yourself in the flesh? How are you going to go on into the fullness? Same way you got where you are now. Oh. Oh. And the more steps you take, the more rest there comes. Sure, every step of faith you take, the easier the next one gets. And you take several more and begin to enter in, first thing you know, you're standing still and running like a strong man. Yet you're still at rest. Say not in your heart, I can do this by myself. God's plan through his church is made so plain. I was baptized by John in the courts of heaven and made a plumb line of his for this new age. So you seek proof of my plumb line ministry. Who did our Lord use him to knock Satan down? Who did our Lord use him to show you New Jerusalem and the many gates or the sea of glass? So you seek more proof of my plumb line ministry. Who did the Lord use them? Show you the sea of blood. Who did the Lord use them? To show you the sea of pure water and the breathing in the air, struck with the resurrection power. You shall be judged by the ministry of Christ, moving through me. God has chosen This is his plan.
For his age of
grace,
to come through a man.
Well, what about you? At all age, God has taken a man or men, and he started his work as a plumb line, as the one to move his truth through. And everyone that was drawn under that plumb line, they became the plumb line too. That's his purpose. The main plumb line between God and man, or the way all gather to, is Jesus Christ. And then he works through ministry of the flesh. And everyone that comes under that ministry of flesh become the plumb line. And he puts them out somewhere, gathers together them, they tie it together the whole. Another one out here, they tie it together the whole. Another one out here, they tie it together the whole. First thing you know, the plumb line of Christ is one in the earth. As you accept in faith and in simple obedience, then the fullness of God in your flesh is yours. You become a part of the plumb line ministry. His purpose is plain, a body for his son. Faith and simple obedience, and then the fullness of God in your church is yours. You become a part of the plumb line ministry. His purpose is plain, a church for his son.
A
church for his son. As you accept in faith and simple obedience, then the fullness of God in your home is yours. You become a part of the plumb line ministry. His purpose is plain, a home for his son. As you accept in faith and in simple obedience, and then the fullness of God in your ministry is yours. You become a part of the plumb line ministry. His purpose is plain, the world for his son.
begin to understand why the Lord had me move me back and tied in every plumb line ministry. Plumb line means the line of obedience of God's people. You'll have an obedient group of people in an age, and then they'll go into darkness, and then there'll be a restoration, there'll be another obedient group. A minister or ministers start that group of obedience that brings in obedience in the earth. And they are called the plumb line. And the Lord had me to go back. You remember in tying all the plumb lines from Abel, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, on through Zechariah, through Christ, the plumb line. Paul, John, and other people.